Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. That is my radio show, and this is me. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. We welcome all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation radio network. And got to tell you, Camaro Dave is out there driving around playing his kazoo, and Commander Chris is doing the barbecue dance in the back of the studio. You can't see it. Old friend coming with us today on this trip. Guy I always enjoy talking to immensely, Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. We're going to be talking about Memorial Day, getting ready, getting your grill ready. We're going to be talking about some chicken parts is parts. You remember that. Also, our music music this week is from Cheap Trick. And before we get to Meathead, I got to tell you that Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. All right, Memorial Day's coming up. Actually, it's here right on top of us. Welcome, Meathead.
Hey, that was my cowboy friend. Hey, what is this? I know you put a lot of thought into choosing the music for each of your shows. I get Cheap Trick? What is the message here?
Well, it's I want you to want me. Isn't that, you know, one of those things? I remember when we did a show and I told you I was playing ABBA and you said you weren't going to do the show. And then I told you that they had 64 million views on YouTube and you said, I'll stay. So,
my wife has made me watch both of those silly movies.
It's tough. I know.
Worming in my seat. Get me out of here.
I get it. All I can say is that it is beautiful photography wherever they shoot that, in Greece or wherever.
Oh gosh, yeah. I love Greece.
What? So first of all, before we jump into this, what's going on at Amazing Ribs?
Gosh, you know, May and June are like Christmas at Macy's for us. We're busy, of course, all year round. Hardcore barbecuers and grillers cook no matter how deep the snow is. But if you Google barbecue ribs in February, if you Google barbecue ribs in June and July, we're usually number one, two, or three, or pulled pork or brisket.
Sure.
But if you Google barbecue ribs in January or February, numbers one through eight are crock pot.
Ah.
So Google sticks a knife in us in the winter, but things are picking up. People are out there grilling. We got a lot of questions from readers, we cover both recipes, and we teach a lot of technique. We teach a lot of concepts. At the risk of being slightly sexist here, a lot of girls learn to cook from mom. When I was a kid, there was home economics,
sure,
and they got classes in cooking. But guys don't really learn much about cooking. They learn a bit about grilling, usually the way I did from my dad. Dad would take me out back, and his specialty was grilled beef ribs and flank steaks, and he did them great, and I loved hanging around and the smell of the beef. And maybe he'd let me have a little sip of beer every now and then. But everything he taught me, I have since learned, is wrong. And that's the way most of us learn to barbecue and grill. And so we do a lot of teaching of technique and try to bust a lot of the mythology surrounding barbecue and grilling. And, of course, we've got our mutual friend Max, whom I know appears on your show, who does nothing but test grills and smokers all year round. What a job description. I got a guy who works for me with a better job than I do.
I love the picture of Max sitting in that lawn chair with a cigar going, I've had a busy day.
And he gets to eat, you know, everything, because he's constantly testing these grills. He gets to eat all of his experiments. So we have fun. I mean, really, Dad, one of the things Dad did teach me that wasn't wrong was he taught me, figure out what you love to do and make your living at it. And that's just what I'm doing.
Yep. And you've done a great job with it so far. So,
well, thank you.
Well, so it's not only because we're friends, but you earned that too. So, and I have a,
I just learned that I have been nominated for the Barbecue Hall of Fame, which is a great honor. There are only 27 members, six of whom are deceased. So I figure my days are numbered. I don't know whether I will actually get in, but it is still an honor to be nominated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can vote for you on that. I'll vote. I'll give you my vote on that.
The voting is all done by members.
Right.
I presume the dead members are voting too. So
well, they've got absentee ballots. So anyway, let's talk about Memorial Day. First, let's get to a couple of myths very quickly about you go out, you really haven't used your grill, you lift the lid, and there's fuzzies on the grill. You know, little critters.
Yeah.
I tell people, this is what I tell them. If you don't have like a pressure washer at home, take those grates, put down a couple of towels in the trunk of your car, take those grates over to the car wash where you use the pressure washers, hang them on the wall, blow them off, take them back, they're fine. That's what I tell people.
That's great advice. In fact, why not just take the whole bloody darn grill out there and pressure wash the whole grill off? That's a great technique.
Yeah.
I do have a pressure washer I use on my deck, and that's what I use. Somebody just sent me, oh gosh, I have a chance to give these nice people a plug, and I can't remember their name. Somebody just sent me a new grill brush that has a water reservoir in it that has a heating element in it, and you brush the grill, and it squirts steam. I've seen a few of them that put water out, but this actually squirts steam, and it's amazing. It really cleans off those grill grates. Hey, a lot of guys I know say, oh, I want that grease on there because it smokes and gives flavor. Hey, folks, wood smoke is tasty. Grease smoke is not.
No.
You do not want grease smoke. Clean your grill grates. If you don't want to clean your entire grill, which you should do, at least clean your grates. You wouldn't eat in a restaurant that had greasy, ugly-looking grates. That's where bacteria live, and grease is not a good taste. And you mentioned the fuzzies. It is not uncommon for grills to have, especially if they've got vents on the top where water might seep in, to get moldy over winter, or if they just sit around for a month or so. And you want to get rid of that mold, too. And the best way to get rid of it is first scrape as much of it off as you can, and then fire it up and burn it off.
Yep, absolutely. The one thing I wanted to kind of say to our listeners, too, is right along the lines of what you're saying there, Meathead, is grease will turn rancid.
Yes.
And you do not want that rancid grease touching anything you're cooking, because it will foul the flavor, and among other things. And
those black marks from grease are just not tasty.
Right.
And do not, under any circumstances, no matter how tempting, put your grill grate in the dishwasher.
No.
I have had this, you know, and you will be sleeping on the couch for weeks.
Yeah, that is true. I can tell you that it didn't have anything to do with grill grates, but very quickly, my daughter has gotten into baking and stuff. And so I came home the other night and she said, Dad, don't be mad. I think I plugged up the food disposal. So I'm in there and I've got the plunger and I got a little snake and all this stuff. Long story short, we live in an older home. We bought an older home. We're kind of refurbishing the whole thing. after 2 days of the plumber guy there cutting pipes out from underneath our house, I can actually text you the pictures, but these things were plugged solid with grease. So if you kind of take that leap from that's what the grease does to your drainage pipes and it smells bad and it looks bad, think what that'll do to your food. So just put it that way. It's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that stuff anywhere near food.
No, you don't.
Or your plumbing.
No, you don't. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Meathead right after this on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and you're listening to us on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network and our newest home base station here in Portland, AM 860 The Answer. We appreciate that. Before we get back to talking with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com, if you'd like to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. Of course, we have Facebook, Barbecue Nation with JT, and Twitter, and all that jazz. So you can find us. We're not that hard to find. So let's get back talking with my buddy Meathead Goldwyn from Amazing Ribs.
Wait a minute. That's PBX, like XYZ, not PPS, like.
Yeah, PDX, like an abbreviation for the Portland International Airport.
Okay.
PDX.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a new email for you.
That is a new email for the show. Yes, it is.
Okay, good
yep,
to know.
Yep. Well, this, I think I told you, but we can talk about this more off the air. This show's being nationally syndicated, and we're just ready to launch. So it's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Memorial Day, grilling, queuing, whatever you want to call it, barbecuing. Traditionally, we kind of look at chicken. I mean, I'm a beef guy, I know that, but I'm also a fish, pork, and poultry guy, and a few vegetables thrown in there. So I cover all the bases. But for most people, when they think of barbecue, they tend to think about chicken. And
well, chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs.
Yeah.
Chicken is America's most popular protein. So, yeah, I think that, you know, my Mother's Day just went by. A lot of chicken being cooked. It's real popular on the grill. The grilled chicken really has a great flavor. You want to cook chicken with some degree of caution. About 3 years ago, Consumer Reports bought 300 chicken breasts in grocery stores all around America and tested them and found that 90% had pathogenic bacteria in them. And of that 90%, half of them had antibiotic-resistant pathogenic bacteria. Now, that sounds really scary, but it's not, because you can kill them all, make your chicken perfectly safe, if you cook it to a safe temperature, which is in the 160 to 165 degree temperature range.
Right.
And you'll kill all the bacteria, and you don't have to take anybody to the hospital during your Memorial Day party. So
that's important.
I mean, that nothing will spoil a party than having everybody barfing in the backyard.
Yeah.
Now, the way to get this done is you can't tell when chicken is done by cutting into it, looking at the color of the meat or the color of the juices. A lot of cookbooks say when the juices run clear, it's safe. That used to be true, but they grow chicken differently today. Chicken goes from egg to shelf in 7 to 8 weeks, from 0 to 3.5 pounds in less than 2 months. And in that period, the bones do not have enough time to calcify properly. So you can get pink juices in a properly cooked chicken. piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't tell by looking at the juices. The only way, the one and only way, I can't emphasize this enough, is with a instant read digital thermometer that you can purchase for under $30. We have an electrical engineer who tests thermometers at AmazingRibs.com, and we review them and rate them. We don't sell any of them. We link to places you can buy them. And he just gave our top award to a $16 thermometer that'll give you a precision reading in 4 to 5 seconds. Go get one. There's another really good one for $30, and top of the line's $100. No matter which one you buy, they will pay for themselves in very short order. So not only in making chicken safe, but, you know, beef steaks are pretty expensive, and nothing is more embarrassing than putting a steak on the table and having to say, sorry, I kind of overcooked them. A digital thermometer will ensure that you will never overcook a steak again or undercook a chicken again. So you got a little time, go out and get one now.
I've got a drawer full of them, and it's kind of like American Express. I don't leave home without it. When I head out onto either doing something in the public or out on the back porch, so to speak, you can't. Boy, you just can't get by without them, especially, you know, with bigger cuts of meat or chicken or anything like that. I mean, if you're doing a tuna fish sandwich on the grill, I think you can probably handle it, you know, or a toasted cheese sandwich or something like that. But anything with any proteins and any thickness or weight to it, you've got to use
mm-hmm.
one. You just got to use one.
You have two issues, and that is overcooking and undercooking. And you can get it precise if you use a digital thermometer and you have a little scale that tells you what the right temperatures are. And we have one on our website. You can print it out, or you can there's a magnetic version that a friend of ours makes and sells on Amazon. But one of the great myths is that you can tell when a steak is ready by poking it and comparing it to the webbing between your thumb and forefinger. I mean, that is just absurd. A fat person has a different feel to their hand than a skinny person who exercises. A sirloin steak feels different than a filet mignon.
Yes.
I mean, and all the books have this. You know, or hold your hand over the charcoal grill and go 1001, 1002, 1000, and wait until your hand starts to smoke, and then you know what the temperature. You know, this is 2019. This is the digital age. Get a digital thermometer, both for the food and another one for the grill. You know, you can get a probe that you can attach to the grill grates and put it right next to the food, so that you can measure the temperature the food is feeling. I mean, can you imagine cooking in your indoor oven without a temperature gauge on it? We all do it outdoors, and outdoors, a grill is just an oven. It's just absurd. You just need good thermometers will make you a flawless cook. And I don't sell them. I don't manufacture them. I just know this to be true.
I agree with you 100%. And the other thing I agree on is we got to take another break, and we're going to go take care of a little business here. We're going to be back with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com on Barbecue Nation right after this. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey,
welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. We've got Meathead Goldwyn with us today from AmazingRibs.com. Before we talk to Meathead, we got to say a little shout out to our friends over at Painted Hills Natural Beef. It's just good stuff. I can read you the same script every week, but I'm just telling you, it's really good stuff. I've been eating Painted Hills Natural Beef for about, 15, 16 years now. Don't judge the way I look by Painted Hills Natural Beef. That would be unfair to them, but it's really good. So do that. Also, our friends up at Smoke and Oak. The Smoke and Oak is a full-service Texas-style barbecue and restaurant with roots in Austin and Tyler, Texas. No charcoal, no gas, no electric, no shortcuts, just clean smoke from fully combusting Oregon white oak. And that's up on 501 Columbia Street in Vancouver. Smoke and Oak, it's the real deal. And it's the first restaurant that I've ever kind of endorsed. So I'll tell you that right now. Let's get back with our buddy Meathead from Amazing Ribs. We talked about chicken a little bit. What's your favorite way to cook chicken on the grill? Is it beer butt? Is it just skinless, thighs and breasts? What is it?
Well, all right. You mentioned you struck a nerve.
Uh-oh.
You just, drilled a hole in my teeth and now I'm in pain. You said beer butt chicken or beer can chicken. This is one of the greatest myths in the grilling world. Now you got to think about this, people. I know you've done beer can chicken and it's wonderful and all your friends think it's wonderful and they love it. And I got news for you. Neither the beer nor the can has anything to do with it. The reason it's wonderful is it's roast chicken. Everybody loves roast chicken. But let's look at this a little bit. First of all, your chicken is done. What did I say a few minutes ago? 160 to 165 degrees temperature.
Right.
You take it any higher than that, and you're going to have shoe leather. Even without a thermometer, you're going to cook it till that skin is golden. You get it much higher than that, and it's going to go black. You don't want to burn your chicken. Now, what temperature does water boil at? 212 degrees. Beer is 95% water. It's 5% alcohol and maybe 1% or 2% of flavor compounds. So there is no way in heck that beer is going to boil and steam. Now think about this. When you want to keep your beer cold, you put it in this little rubberized jacket called a beer koozie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take a chicken out of the refrigerator at 38 degrees and stick a beer can up it, and you have just made a chicken koozie. Now, that chicken is 38 degrees, and it's never going up past 160, 165, even if you're a lousy cook and you take it to 180. There is no way the beer is going to boil. It's not going to steam. And how in heck is it going to get into the chicken? The metal can is in the way. Now, some of it might evaporate through the top of the can and hit the little bit of meat inside the top of the chicken between the top of the can and the shoulders. But chicken is a meat protein. It's muscle. It has 70 to 75% water. It is fully saturated, like a sponge. It is fully saturated. There is no room in there for more water. It will not absorb water. You can take a chicken, weigh it, submerge it in water for a half an hour, take it out and weigh it again, and at most it'll be 1% or 2% heavier, and that's only because it's wet on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It can't absorb any beer coming out of the top of the can under any circumstances. Certainly can't absorb it through the sides of the can. And what about the beer flavor? There's only 1%, 2% molecules that are flavor inside a beer. It can't flavor the chicken at all. So all you're doing is giving the chicken a pedestal upon which to sit. And by the way, we've tested this. I've put all the digital probes in the world in the can of chicken, and it never even gets beyond the temperature of the chicken. Because the chicken is colder, it reaches only about 155 to 160. It's almost always 5 degrees colder than the chicken. There's just no way it can. So you're just making this cute little Buddha that tastes great because it's a roast chicken. Now, if you want really, really great chicken, you take the bird and you break it into individual parts. And you allow it to brown on all sides. When you've got a beer can in the cavity can't brown. Well, brown is flavor. We love brown things. It's a chemical reaction. They call it the Maillard reaction. And it's when the proteins and the amino acids change and create flavor and darken color. It's just why we, that's why we toast bread or why we roast coffee beans. Brown is beautiful. So if you cut it into parts, you can brown all sides, including the inside, and you can get more flavor that way. And it cooks faster, so there's less moisture loss. And you can measure the temperature in each piece individually, because the wings will cook a lot faster than the breast, because they're skinnier, they're thinner. It's the thickness of the meat that determines how fast it cooks. So by all means, take your chicken, cut it up or buy pieces, sprinkle it with your best flavorful rub, salt it, because salt is the magic rock. Salt will enter the meat and alter the proteins and help it hold on to moisture, and it amplifies the flavor, and just grill it up. And when we, I know we got to be bumping up against your commercial time here.
Oh, no, we're
we
good.
We can talk about how to set up a two-zone system and to cook it without burning the skin.
I'm going to interject something there. I'm just going to add it as flavoring or frosting.
Did I let you have any time to interject?
Yeah, sorry about that. We still got like 4 minutes, so we're good.
Okay, I just got on a rant there. I apologize to your listeners.
You're great. Here's what I do. A lot of times, I will buy the chicken quarters. Okay, if I don't feel like, you know, cutting it myself or doing spatchcocking or anything like that, I just buy. Because you can buy 2 to 4 of them in a package, and then there's some other little pieces in there. And you can grill those, like you said. You know, put some of your rub, salt and pepper, what, you know, however you like it. Do both sides, put it on that grill, do that. One thing that I do, it's just me, I will take about 8 minutes or so before the chicken is done, and I will take the juice from a half an orange, fresh orange, squeeze it on there, and if your temperature is right and everything is cooking right, that just puts a little flavor on the crust, on the skin, but it'll also help it get a touch more crunchy if you cook it just right. Now, that's my little personal deal, so you can take that with a grain of salt, but I think it works.
Well, I don't know precisely when and how you do that. But let's examine that for a second. What you're doing is you're adding citrus flavor, which is going to be wonderful with chicken. Mm-hmm. Chicken loves citrus. But you're also moistening the skin. And for me, crispy chicken skin is second only to bacon. So I want that skin crispy. So you're going to want to do this in a two-zone system. And we'll talk about that when we come back from break. But this is the technique for chicken where you'll never burn and ruin the skin, and you'll get it really crispy.
Right. And this is just something that one of the reasons is I got tired of everything lemon. You know, we went through that lemon phase with everything. You know, you had to put lemon on your salmon. You had to put lemon on your salad. You had to. I like lemon as much as the next guy. But I thought, okay, I don't want everything to taste like lemon, just like I don't want everything to taste like oranges. But I happen to like oranges a little better than I like lemon. And so I started doing the half an orange thing with some seafood, started with that years ago, and a little squeeze on some shrimp and stuff. Works out really well. And the other thing I do it on is asparagus. Okay, when I'm grilling asparagus, I've got a lot of garlic on it, or even if I'm sauteing it in the pan, because I don't cook it very long, I don't let asparagus get droopy. I like I like it a little soft on the outside, crunchy on the inside. That's the way I like it.
That sounds great. You know what? Another thing that you can do that I'm sure you've done is use the orange zest.
Yes.
Which is the the very thin layer outside the skin before you get to the white. And you can get that zest with a microplane, or they have orange zesters, and you scrape that off, and there's a lot of oil in the orange zest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a really concentrated orange flavor exists. And sprinkle that on your chicken or your shrimp.
Wonderful.
Oh, boy.
Oh. That's wonderful. Now we are going to take a break, but we're going to come back with Meathead here on Barbecue Nation. Right after this, stay with us. We've got more good stuff to talk about. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and thank you all for listening here on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. We're with my good friend Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. But the one thing I forgot to mention this show, which we always talk about just for a skosh of time, he's also a New York Times bestselling author with, there's your cue.
My book is called Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. And it's kind of neat. There's a lot of chemistry and physics in there, but it won't put you to sleep. It's a kitchen cat. You know, every time you step into the kitchen or right on your deck, you're doing a chemistry and physics experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You're applying heat to meat or vegetables, and you're altering the chemistry. And it's really cool if you have a little bit of an understanding of what happens. You got to be a little nerdy, but if you understand what happens to protein when heat hits it, or fat, or carbohydrates, you're a better cook.
That is true. And I have said this many times the last couple of years on the show, that Meathead's book is a must-have, not just because of the barbecuing and grilling aspect of it, but it really makes you think about what you're doing. There's not 1,000 recipes in it like there is a lot of cookbooks. That's not the point. It explains to you what's going on, like you said, with the chemistry and really with the physics and the heat dynamics and all kinds of things there. But it also kind of makes you think about how you're cooking other stuff in the kitchen. You know, baking is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start thinking about that, unless you just buy, you know, box Jiffy cornbread muffins, which is anybody can do that. But if you're actually going to bake something from scratch or create something, this should lead you into thinking about it a little more. Anyway, there you go. That's what I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. When you were talking about coming into this segment, and we've got now about 3.5 minutes left, but we can pick it up in the after hour show too if we go along. Two-zone cooking. You're setting up something on your grill that a lot of people still haven't grasped, is that you can have a hot side and a cooler side, or a cold side,
yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, I mean, the tendency is that, you know, particularly among guys who like, you know, give it all she's got, Scotty. You know, crank her up to 11 on the scale. And what you want to do is you want to divide your grill into two parts. And this is for almost all cooking. Whether you're cooking asparagus or chicken or steaks, you want to have a hot side and a not hot side, because that gives you temperature control, and it also gives you different kinds of energy. When you are cooking right over the flame, you're cooking with infrared radiation. When you're cooking away from the flame on the other side, you're cooking with convection airflow. And it's a different temperature, there's a different amount of energy, and it impacts the meat differently, and it cooks differently, and so you have more flexibility. So always divide the grill in half, hot side, not hot side. On a charcoal grill, push all your coals off to one side. On a gas grill, turn one burner on high and leave the other burner off. Or if you've got three, you can fiddle with whether you got one on high, one on low, and one off or whatever. And in general, you want to go for an air temp and the not hot side and the indirect convection airflow side of around 225. That's your target in the indirect side. On the direct heat side, just take whatever you can get. You get adjusted for the indirect side. That's the crucial side, the crucial temp. And when you're cooking chicken, you start it on the indirect side. You start it and you cook it slower, more gently, with the convection airflow, watching your meat temperature, and you're going to bring it up to around 150, which is about 10 degrees below what your finished target temperature is. And then you're going to move it over to the direct heat side, where you've got infrared energy pounding it, and you're going to lift the lid and take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you're going to cook it right over the flame, and you're going to stand there and watch it, because that's a lot of energy, and you're going to flip it, and you're going to flip it, and you're going to flip it every minute or two, so that you're cooking the surface now. On the indirect side, you were gently warming the interior. Now you're cooking the surface, and you're going to crisp that skin till it's golden, and the underside is going to get brown and full of that Maillard reaction flavor, and you're going to get your chicken right up to 160, and you're going to pull it. You're going to have crispy, not black skin, golden skin. You're going to have browned meat. It's going to be perfect 160. It's going to be safe, and you've done your chicken. It's going to be juicy and tender.
We got to go. We got to get out of here. Meathead's going to stick around with us for the after-hour show. Ben, you can all find that on SoundCloud, Barbecue Nation with JT. Meathead, thanks for being on the regular version, and now we're going to go to the other version. So,
always great talking to a good cook like you.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Folks, we'll be back next week with more Barbecue Nation. Until then, remember, turn it, don't burn it.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.